When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Okay, everybody, we decided to take this week off, so here's one of our classic episodes. Hope you enjoy. Okay, everybody, welcome to the latest episode of All Too Real 2. My name is Michael E. Cullen II, and with me, as always, is...
I'm afraid to reveal the information. I'm trying to be street smart, so I'm going to go with a fake name.
Okay.
Named Sesame and Carla.
Okay. So, Sesame...
Yeah.
Where do you live?
I'm not going to do that either. I took a class with a bunch of kids. Just weird because I'm like in my 30s. But like, anyways, like they said like, hey, you know, don't talk to strangers. Don't tell them where you live. Don't give them your phone number.
You know what you should do? You should stop, think.
What's that?
You know what you should do? You should stop, think, and listen to your heart.
Yeah, that's a really good piece of advice.
And don't be scared.
In no way.
And be street smart.
Yeah, in no way is that phrase going to be played for laughs during an extremely serious video that is meant to teach children to not be kidnapped. It be used.
Never.
As a comedic effect. No, nope, totally serious because it's a very serious issue and that's how it's going to be treated as such.
Yes, it is. I remember when I was a kid and like on a regular daily basis, I was almost abducted every day.
It sucks, man. I mean,
you know, growing up in the 80s and 90s and stuff, people were just abducted every day.
I mean, there was really not much to do, you know, so like the kids were just walking around not doing anything. The adults for all we were told they were all addicted by crack or any other form of drugs, so of course they were just like chomping at the bit to kidnap someone. It was a crazy time, really.
Everywhere I went, I mean, I got kidnapped about 4 times a week.
About 4?
Yeah,
a week. Damn.
Yeah,
that's crazy. That's like 120 times a year, something like that.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, it's like I couldn't help it. I mean, there was this guy in this white van that come by and offer me candy.
See, that's the thing. I'm supposed to, you know, don't listen to the candy guy. He's lying, you know.
Yeah,
or she. It's usually a guy, but or she, you know. Yeah. even if they have candy, don't matter. They can have a whole truck full of candy. Doesn't matter. Just walk away, go get yourself like an ice cream bar, you know, from like, you know, dollar store.
What if there's a puppy in the van?
Nope. Doesn't matter if there's a puppy, candy. Doesn't matter if there's puppy and candy puppies. Plural. Candy.
What about candy puppies?
Places to get. About what? What's that?
Like candy puppies.
Like puppies made of candy?
Yes.
Yeah, that's fine then, because that's, I mean, you're never going to come across something like that again. So, no, it's not fine.
Okay, so in all
seriousness. So, we're joking.
Yes.
Yes.
What are we talking about today?
Well, today we are talking about quite possibly the greatest short film of all time. It's just an absolute genius wrote and direct this film. I'm surprised that it's not played in every single movie theater in the world, if I'm being quite honest. It's called Street Smarts.
It's called Get Street Smart.
Yeah, I think that's what it's called. It's called Get Street
Get
Smart.
Get Street Smart, A Kid's Guide to Stranger Dangers.
And that's the whole title. That's a long title of a movie. Yeah. And it's based around... Okay, so we have a sort of in-universe character here that we need to explain because the context is really important. They're doing a lot of world building with this one. So in-universe, there's not only is there an alien exchange student, but it's, quote, your favorite alien exchange student, which implies that there's other alien exchange students in the country, presumably, if not, you know, unless the other parts of the world, but at least in this country. And he's just one of them, but he's the favorite of the alien exchange students who have been sent from various planets and galaxies to the planet Earth with the sole, again, the sole purpose is to teach the Earthling children street smarts, you know, how to, you know, gauge whether or not a stranger's, you know, have bad intentions towards you. You know, they're basically act as ambassadors of their planets, because apparently they figured everything out on their planet, so they're just being so kind to send their children to our planet to teach our kids, well, of course, I would have been one of those kids at that time, street smarts. So remember, this is very important. He's one of many alien exchange students, but he's the favorite. And his sole reason for living on Earth at this particular time in history is to teach other children how to deal with strangers if they feel that they're in an unsafe position. So that's the context. Just laying it out there. Okay.
And so, having him be the person, him being the ambassador about street smarts is like, I don't know, having Tucker Carlson be the ambassador of liberalism.
That's a good one.
Yes,
because his name is Capricorn, by the way.
Yeah,
and
corny.
We're just gonna tell you he does a terrible job.
Yes, because he really doesn't understand street smarts, but that is his purpose. And okay, so the other thing I've learned from this movie, okay, so you remember the TV show Elf?
Yeah.
They hid Elf that whole time, but this movie's taught me that Elf could have just hung out with kids and stuff.
Oh, that's what I forgot about that they hid him from the society.
Yeah, but in this movie,
yeah, I did talk about
in this movie, you know, Corny's just a regular kid hanging out with everybody.
It's because, you know, he was kind of teaching street smarts. I mean, he was, by the way, can I read a scroll that they did?
Yes.
Okay. Can I read that really quick?
Yes, go ahead.
So they tried to make this into like a Star Wars thing because they were trying to be cool. Because like, oh, kids like Star Wars, right? So, you know, we're going to make fun of Star Wars by doing it. So it says, it looks exactly like the scroll from Star Wars. It says, once upon a time in a land very close by, that it says, get street smart, a kid's guide to stranger danger. Blah blah blah. Okay, come on, get to the thing. Come on, get to it. There it is. Episode 1: A Safe New World. It's not very safe at the Corny stuff. Capricorn, known to his friends as Corny, is an alien exchange student from the planet Zarkon, chosen to boldly go where no Zarkonian has gone before. Corny and his family travel across the galaxies to a planet called Earth, pursued by strangers and evil kidnappers. Corny's mission is to learn what it means to be street smart and teach all the kids in the universe how to make their planet a safer place. His time has come. May the cosmos be with them. Okay, so they're talking like this is some prophecy deal going on. So apparently the Zarkonians have a prophecy that one of their own, a child, is going to go to another planet and teach that planet's children how to be safe when it comes to dealing with adults who they don't know, strangers. As another word, you know, to you. And so Corny, or Capricorn as his official title is a failed prophecy. It just proves the fact that their entire religion is wrong. Their God is probably not real. And, you know, Corny's mission is probably going to cause his entire planet to go into a full-blown civil war, because half of the people are going to want to believe in the God that they believed in all these generations, and the other half is going to be like, well, Corny fucked this up, so I don't know what to believe anymore. So thanks, Corny. You just probably cost millions of Zarkonians' lives.
He's as much of a prophecy fulfillment as Anakin Skywalker.
Yeah, which means that he's not. But, not allowed to say it, right?
Well, see, in a way, it's very similar. You see, Anakin brought balance to the Force by, you know, being evil and helping people see the good in themselves. Whereas Corny taught us street smarts by being stupid and not understanding them.
Exactly. See, so I guess you're right. He did fulfill the prophecy just in a way that we wouldn't expect. By the way, I think this movie, I've watched it twice, and I've watched like 3 breakdowns of it from other people. I still can't get over some of the scenes. Like they really had like some like outdated stereotypes of like ADHD. Because at one point he's like sitting on his desk, like really, like, and he's like his ears like act as like antennas, or no, he actually has like actual antennas on his head, and that allows him like to listen to the radio, I guess, whenever he feels like it.
Okay. It's like a remote control that can turn off the radio, I think. I don't understand it. And sometimes music plays through it. But so the basic premise of this show or film or whatever the fuck it is that they were showing kids in schools, by the
fever
way.
Fever dream.
Yes. This fever dream that they showed educational institutions.
Yeah, they were showing this.
I mean, I'll tell you, this came out in like 95, so I was already in high school, I mean, almost in college by the time this came out. But when I was a kid, the only weird alien movie they made us watch was Mac and Me. So, but
Mac and Me, yeah. I think I remember watching this actually when they did show this to us. Like even then, I was thinking to myself, like, why is this a comedy? Like, this shouldn't be funny. Like,
so the basic idea here is okay. So, at Corny's school, they're teaching, you know, street smarts, his teacher is and everything. And so we have this situation though where Corny gets abducted and he has this like watch that is a zapper that zaps him out of situations. If he gets into a situation he doesn't want to be in, but he just has no control as to where it zaps him, which is a weird concept because honestly, sometimes maybe him being kidnapped would be the better situation because he could just be zapped, you know, somewhere, you know, like in the middle of a lake with piranhas or something. I don't know. You know what I mean? I'm just saying the,
exactly. Why would they add that as an important part of the story that he doesn't know where it's like, what if being kidnapped is a safer environment, or what if he's being kidnapped somewhere else and he gets sent to a worse kidnapper?
Well, the reason they added is so they can have the wacky adventures where he, you know, lands into a hot tub with an old couple and, you know, in between another couple that are trying to kiss and, you know, shit like that.
That little shrug he does is like the funniest thing I've ever seen. Yeah. He's like, oops. Like, and it's like, you can almost see like the actor himself is like not taking the role seriously. He's like, yeah, they pay me like $20 and like a bump of cocaine for this. Like, you know.
Speaking of the actor, it's Richard Stephen Horvitz, who is probably best known as the voice of Invader Zim.
Wow.
So among other things, which speaking of another alien that he played. He also played he was in Power Rangers as that little robot guy that what the fuck is the robot's name? Anyways, he was the voice of that as well. And he's done like a lot of voice work since then. He's had a pretty prolific career, honestly, and a lot of voice work and other stuff. He was on Angry Beavers, The Grim Adventures of Billy and Mandy. He was in the movie The Informant. What else has he been in? He's in the Loud House cartoon as a voice, Ratchet and Clank video games, Tangled the TV series. What else has he been in? Tons of animation, basically. But anyways, I will tell you that the moment he opened his mouth, that is not the voice I was expecting to come out of that creature, which is one of the ugliest fucking aliens I've ever seen in my life.
The reason why I wanted to watch this so bad was just because of that, because there's all cards on the table. I did not think of this on my own. I was watching Eddie Burback, I went through his channel, and I just happened to see this face. I go, what the hell is this? And then he's you know, played a clip of it, and his dad, so Corny apparently sleeps in his clothes that he wears at school. That's interesting. Okay, whatever. We'll just get past that.
That he never changes.
So he doesn't take a shower. Yeah, he never changes. I don't know if he needs to take a shower. I don't know if his alien race needs that. Whatever. You don't know much about their biology, you know, and their anatomy, which is a good thing, because I don't want to know too much about it. But anyway, so he wakes up, you know, from his bed, which is also like an alarm clock. It makes his bed shake, like to physically wake him up. Because apparently he's like a really, well, it does seem like he's a very hard sleeper because he's always sleeping in class. But that's a whole other thing. Anyways, I don't want to get ahead of myself. So he wakes up and, you know, his antenna ears or whatever are playing some stupid, you know, shock radio thing. Like, oh, it's going to be a hot one today, you know, type of thing. And he opens the blinders from his room and there's some guy with his shirt off mowing the lawn already before school starts, which is weird because schools usually start around like 8:30, 9 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
And this guy is already rocking the shirtless thing, mowing the lawn at like 8 in the morning. Okay, whatever.
And by the way, the shirtless lawnmower guy is Sean McNamara, yeah, the director of this film.
Well, there you go. He deserves a cameo.
Sure.
Because he is a genius. It actually is a genius movie if you think about it. If you watch this movie, yeah, like if you're like really, really sleep deprived, apparently you could just like see the genius in this film. But like, so the dude's like, he's watching the director mow the lawn with the shirt off, you know, because the director made that decision that he wanted to be in his own movie and he wanted to have his shirt off in his own movie, which again, okay, that's his choice. What really made me want to watch is this very first line in the movie outside of the narration that we already heard, and it's his dad is in the background going, "Ready to blast into orbit, son?" or something like that, and then Courtney goes, "Dad." I can't even say it without laughing. It's like,
"Dad."
Like, he's like, "Dad, I can't do it." You're like, you gotta hear him do it. It's the funniest thing ever. And then like, so we get a glimpse into who Courtney as a person is. He's like a terrible student, terrible kid. He's got such a bad attitude. Like, it's like, dude, you are specifically sent to Earth with this like a specific mission. Like, and like, you have this attitude of like, just like, oh well, I got, like, he's even bragging to his friend, like, oh, I got this zapper, I don't need to worry about anything. It's like, dude, what the fuck's the matter with you?
He's the messiah of street smarts. The messiah of street smarts, Corny, whatever his last name is.
Of course he is, but, you know, he's got the zapper thing, like you mentioned. Well, you know, those other kids should be able to, they should have the zapper before he does, because he's supposed to be teaching them street smarts, so he shouldn't be the one to have the zapper for, quote, insurance, as he calls it. What a grown-up word to say, too. I got insurance. Who says that? But whatever. And they're all teaching him street smarts. They're, like, telling him, hey, you know, don't talk to that guy who just rolled up in his truck offering you candy. You're saying, no thanks, it rot my ears. What? So it doesn't have teeth, I guess? Okay. And then what a weird thing to say though too. Plus two, you're saying no, but then you're walking up to the guy as you're saying no to the offer. Like, it's a very confusing thing. Like, hey kid, you want some candy? And you walk up to him and go, no thanks. Well, wait, why don't you just walk away? Why are you walking towards him? But okay, so they're like, Courtney, come on, dude. Like, don't. Okay, so I have a theory. My mind's racing right now. So Eddie Brubeck, he very astute thinker, and he's like, there's like a predator like every 30 seconds in this neighborhood, and that's a great observation. But I think I found one that he didn't mention. I'm very proud of, because
yes,
I'm not someone that just wants to watch someone else's thing to copy everything that they've said. But I grant him that. That's not my original observation. But I think I found one that he didn't. And that we'll find out later on, because this whole Groundhog Day situation happens where every time he gets kidnapped and he does the little zapper thing, and he either finds himself like in after he finds himself in like a weird like elder three-way hot tub situation or whatever, he ends up, you know, erasing that from his memory or tries to, and then he goes back to his bed. And then this goes on several times. He gets kidnapped like 18 different times. And then they play this weird montage where it's a montage of all the times he's gotten kidnapped that we've already seen, and a few extras just to throw in into the bargain bin. And it's like playing like this really weird, like happy song, like stop it, listen to your heart. And they're all like, you know, he's like, every time he zaps, he goes like, what? This weird like kind of sound, and he's like spinning in like some weird like
Doctor Who sort of way or something, you know.
It's just so fucking weird. My observation was, like, we're kind of skipping ahead here, we could go all over the place because time doesn't matter anymore. No. But not in this universe
now, when you have a zapper.
So I have the whole Groundhog. No, when he has Apple Watch, it's like time is just like it's a timelessness time. Whatever. Yes. I can't think of the word. But like my observation that I just came up with like an hour ago was, wait a minute. So he's living the same day over and over again, but he's still retaining all the information that he had the previous day. But none of his friends do, and his parents don't. His teacher, mind you, his teacher always. This is another Eddie Burback observation. His teacher is always teaching a different version of the lesson though every day, which seems to kind of fly in the face of Groundhog Day, because the whole point is that the same thing happens every day on Groundhog Day. But so they did a little twist on that. But like, okay, fine, that's fine, whatever. But I noticed there's several different predators in this movie, but there's a main one that always pops up, and he always like seems to know like what Corny's up to, what his name is, where he lives, etc. Okay, well, hold on a sec, because I thought of this. Go, wait a minute, Corny is the only one presumably who's reliving the same day over and over again. So anything he says or does on that particular day, only he has memory of. Everyone else is supposed to forget. But this guy seems to remember all the things that Corny has said on the previous Monday. So my theory is, Zarconians put him in to test Corny. They're like, Corny's gonna fuck up. And because we gave him the zapper, because we know he's not gonna do shit. He never pays attention to school in any of our classes, so he's not gonna pay attention to some Earth school. So we're gonna send like a predator from our country or our planet, or make him seem as such. We're gonna follow him around, and because like one of the days is that he had a jacket that said Corny on it, and one of the lessons was that you weren't supposed to wear clothing that had like your name on it or any other kind of thing. So that was just one day. He wasn't wearing that jacket though any of the other days, but yet the guy still called him Corny. So that's interesting. So how do you know?
Okay, my thing is, so then in this situation where Corny is the messiah of street smarts, this guy is Satan. And so...
He's the Satan of street smarts.
So this is like the last temptation of Corny.
Yes. Yeah, because he's tempted. This is the guy that's always tempting him the most. Like, because he's always offering him like ice cream, candy. And one of the montage scenes, he just gives him some money. Like, yeah, go. He's like on a payphone. He's like chewing gum, like acting all cool. And so like, hey, man, hey, Corny, go get yourself something to eat. And he's like, oh, thanks. And he's like chewing his gum, like, yeah. Then like Corny walks in, buys like some ice cream or whatever. The guy takes his bike and moves it right next to the RV that just happens to be sitting in the parking lot, and then Corny's like, oh shit, my bike's there. Then they go grab him, then he zaps and says, you know, whatever. So this guy remembers all the time that he's kidnapped Corny or all the information. So it's like Corny's like a nexus being, if we're gonna get into like the Marvel Cinematic Universe kind of theory here, this guy is also a nexus being. So whatever happens in any timeline,
yes,
they both remember, but they don't. But Corny doesn't know that he remembers. So he's the one at a disadvantage here, because Corny thinks he's the only one that remembers the Groundhog Day situation, whereas the other guy also knows the Groundhog Day situation, but he's using that to actually take advantage of the situation, because he is the adult in this, and unfortunately, he's a bad adult because he's using that for nefarious intentions, whereas Corny is using that to just make the same mistakes over and over and over and over again. I mean, like, there's one scene. Okay, so Eddie Burback, I'm sorry, I'm like all hyped up right now. So Eddie Burback made another astute observation where he's walking alone. Again, he's supposed to walk with his friends, and she's he's going through like the lesson plan that she said, like, and it's got all this like reverb and echo behind her voice, you know, like, don't go on alleyways or construction sites or whatever. I don't think that's him thinking that, because he wasn't paying attention in class. Because right before that happened, that's what I'm talking about, the genius of this film. You need to really read it. You need to really look into the small details that the director put into it. He put in clearly a lot of work. That's the reason why he wasn't wearing a shirt when he was mowing the lawn, because he had to put all of himself into the movie, and he just couldn't have it. He just couldn't have a shirt anymore. It just couldn't work. So he had those antenna things, and then he was listening to the antenna things right before class ended, like rocking out to some generic dumb rock song or whatever, and she's like, Corny, pay attention or whatever, and like straightens out the antennas, and then he leaves class like acting all like he's tough, like, all right, let's go walk home from school, Corny. He's like, I'll just catch up with you later, you're not the boss of me. And it's like, you fucking idiot, dude. He like just disregarded the entire lesson. So whatever, so he leaves like acting all cool. He does like this weird sort of swagger walk, like he thinks he's like the coolest person in the world or whatever. And anyway, so the principal walks in, he's like, "How's everything doing?" And she's like frowning. She's like, "I don't know. I'm worried about my alien exchange student. It's like he's on another planet." And he's like, "Well, he is." You know, dumb idiot joke. And then so she looks out the window, and then so Eddie Burback, he thinks we have a disagreement. He thinks that Corny is replaying the lesson in his mind as he's walking home alone from school with a latchkey around his neck and a jacket that has his name on the back of it. And then I don't think that's what's happening because he wasn't paying attention. He never pays attention in class. That's the whole problem. He sits on his desk, he listens to music, he sleeps a lot. I think he's got a sleeping disorder because he's always sleeping in class. Like, he never seems to get enough sleep. I don't know. Maybe the antennas play music at night and he never like gets enough sleep. He gets woken up by like a shitty rock song at like 2 a.m. and he can't go back to bed. I don't know. We'll have to figure that out in like part two or whatever. But he, so she looks right out the window, and then that's when you start hearing the reverb and the echo of her repeating all of the key points of her lesson plan. I think that was her projecting that into Corny's antennas, trying to protect him at that very instant. Like, cause she does, like, oh, he's got antennas, he can pick shit up. Of course, he ignores everything that he hears because he's a fucking moron. So he's like, oh, don't walk in construction sites. Oh, he happens to be at like an abandoned warehouse construction site. Don't walk in alleyways. Don't. He goes, oh, a shortcut because he needs to get home. So, and what kind of weird shortcut would he need to get to his house to walk through like an abandoned warehouse district? Like, where the fuck does he live? Like, it seems like he lived in a pretty good neighborhood. I'm not sure why he would need to walk through that. And he's like doing his weird, like, I don't know what kind of walk he's doing. There's a truck driving, mind you, this is mid-90s, right? Cars weren't very quiet back then. And you would hear, I think you presumably would hear a truck, especially a truck that looked like it was from like the 1960s. Pretty sure it'd be making a lot of noise, but not for good old Corny here. He's just sitting there doing his little strut. And then this woman with a pamphlet of a picture of a dog on it walks by and she's like, oh, my puppy got lost, which just happens to be on the picture of this polished pamphlet that you would just have a picture of your dog at. Like, you wouldn't have a regular photograph, you'd have him on a pamphlet. And he's like, Corny's like, it's like, what would you do? Like, it always freezes. Says, what would you do? And you see this guy already standing behind Corny has said that.
My thoughts on this is, okay, so this is some weird town where people are abducted every 15 minutes. And so I think they have like a special place. It's like a, you know, like a Kinko's, but it's for kinky people. So it's Kinko's. Anyway, so at this place, they supply you with like flyers and stuff for kidnapping kids, you know, and it's just in a strip mall in this town. It's like maybe like right down the street from that Quickie Mart that he went into in the one part. You know, it's just right there, you know. They don't care because this town seems to have, you know, like every other adult is a predator.
Exactly. What the fuck is going on? I mean, who knows? The teacher could have been one too. She could have been telling false lessons to trick the kids into doing the wrong thing. You know, by the way, too, another point. Okay, I know I'm sorry, but my mind's wandering so much.
Fine.
Okay, so it's no matter what, it's wrong to go after kids. Okay, I mean, that's obvious. I don't think that even needs to be said. Okay, but the predators in this universe do seem to have something really special interest into Corny specifically. And I'm thinking, is it because he's an alien? The alien kid? Is that what's going on? Because they don't seem to be interested in the other kids he's hanging out with. Like, they just ignore them. Like, you know?
Well, I mean, my theory is maybe they're all working for some, like, Area 51 government agency. And they're not really predators.
Ooh.
They're like Men in Black, but, like, in disguise. And so they're just trying to, you know, rid the world of aliens, you know.
I think I kind of... like that theory, actually. Like, they're just keeping tracks on Corny to make sure he's not going to, like, zap the world into some weird, you know, wormhole or some shit like that.
Yeah. And, I mean, so basically...
God damn it.
This fever dream of an educational film. educational film.
Yeah, educational.
Yes. I'll repeat that again. Educational film. Yeah, sadly, probably not the weirdest educational film I've ever seen, but still, the situation here, you know, ends where one day he leaves his Zapper watch at home and goes to school and then freaks out when he realizes he doesn't have it. And he's like, I don't have my Zapper. I'm going to get killed on the way home and blah, blah, blah. And he's like, you know, the teacher's like comforting him in class and everything. And he's like all like freaking out, like everything's different now because he doesn't have his, you know, insurance policy. And he goes home and he's remembering the, you know, what he's supposed to do, and he calls his mom like he's supposed to, and then he there's a delivery at the door and he won't let the guy in, you know, he does the right thing, and then our creepy guy in a Hawaiian shirt, you know, who I'm convinced works for the government, he comes up, and for some odd reason Courtney's stupid and answers the door for him, and then the guy grabs him, like, you know, in broad daylight, and
yeah, and luckily
some random lady that lives in the neighborhood sees it and helps stop it, and then, you know, 5 seconds later the cops pull up. So,
well, of course.
Yeah. So I don't know, but that which I think is funny, though. I was sitting there thinking, I was like, how did the cops get here so fast? And then that moment that I thought that, Courtney actually says to them, is like, how'd you guys get here so fast?
They explained it. Yeah, Corey literally fails every test in this movie, but then declares himself the victor because a woman and a cop happen to show up just as he's being kidnapped. He's like, yes, I'm street smart. It's like, no, you're not. You fucking moron. You literally just opened the door for him 2 seconds ago, and then he just flailed about as he was trying to carry you away. He's like, what are you talking about?
It's like, you know, being the person that was afraid to get up on stage at a karaoke thing, and then all of a sudden you get up and you sing one line of American Pie or something, and then you walk off stage and you're like, I'm the greatest singer in the world. No, you're not.
No, you're not. You're terrible.
But anyways, the reason that the cops are there so fast is because, you know, there was something in his mom's gut when he called her when she was at work. I don't know where the fuck this alien's working, but anyways.
Exactly.
She, like, you know, working at a Dillard's or something, and they come in the store and it's just like, yeah, I'll show you where the dresses are here. I'm like, what the fuck?
Hey, it's like, in universe, this is a normal thing for these kids,
But anyways, so that's how we end the thing where, you know, he realizes he's street smart and everything's good. I don't know. Do you want to take a break here, Matt? And we'll come back and we can talk about some reviews and stuff that I found online.
Oh, sorry. So there's one more thing about him knocking off from school that day. So the day he gets kidnapped for real without a Zapper is, like, you know, he's freaking out in class because he doesn't have a Zapper. And, like, the teacher's, like, hugging him, you know, because she's, like, really concerned. It was a really touching moment. Like, oh, my gosh, she's really concerned about Courtney. Like, someone's going to kill me. I'm going to get taken away. He's like, oh, I don't feel so good. I feel sick. And he faints. And then they just let him walk home alone. Like, no parent picks. Like, what kind of school is this? Like, when I was a kid, if I was sick, they wouldn't just send me home to walk by myself, paranoid, all jittery. Like, no,
they'd send you to the nurse,
like,
first, at least.
I mean, it's like that whole there, the school failed him right there. Yeah. They would have been on that if he got kidnapped, because they just went ahead and sent him home.
Yeah.
So that was my only last point about
this. These are some reviews I found. There was none on the Internet Movie Database, so I had to find some elsewhere. And I found this website called Letterboxd.com where I found these reviews. This first one is a 2-star review from Tylet Lantern. He said, I heard that this had a Groundhog Day premise, so I decided to give it a watch. It's almost like a shot-for-shot remake, except for the main character is an alien and people keep trying to molest him every day. So, the next one is a 0.5-star from Visala826. I imagine this is what being schizophrenic with horrible delusions and hallucinations is like.
Whoa.
Here's another 0.5-star from a guy named Jay. It says, wow, it's free on YouTube, so watch it. Get street smart, that's all. Okay, so this other one has no stars whatsoever, from Michelle. She says, the alien brought to Earth to teach kids about stranger danger has a magic fingers bed and no one is asking questions. Here's a 3-star review from Parker. I would have tried to kidnap Corny myself, to be honest.
Whoa.
Yeah, it's kind of creepy. half a star from Geo, says this is the most crime-infested infested neighborhood on the planet. So those are the only reviews I could find for this online. I did do a little bit of research, and there are some other corny adventures that we may have to find online and watch. So
wait, because they said there's several other films of corny.
There's one I found online, and I can't remember what the topic of it is, but I do know that Dick Van Patten and Vicki Lawrence are in it, so it's actually got some like star power in it. Also, it's got the youngest kid from Home Improvement.
What?
Yeah,
definitely.
We'll have to find that. Maybe that'll be the next thing we cover. We'll see. Any other thoughts here, Matt, before we wrap things up?
No, I think the only thing I could say is stop, think, and listen to your heart, and be street smart.
Yes, be street smart.
That's all I could say. So.
And I do have one last thing to ask you, Matt. What is your address?
It's 728. Oh, no.
What are your parents' first and last names?
Zarkon and Zarkonia.
Oh, okay.
Shit.
Is that Greek?
Should have said that. It's Zarkonian.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yes. And what is your blood type and your social security number?
My blood type is green. And we don't have social security numbers on planet Zarkon. We don't need social security on Zarkon because everybody's taken care of because we have a functioning government society. So
portable health care too.
Oh yeah, we do. It's pretty good stuff.
Yeah, and you know,
I mean, the zappers included in every single person who's born. I mean, Zarkon.
If you have the zappers too, you can like get anywhere. I mean, if you have a proper zapper that you can actually direct to go to where you want to go, then you don't even need a car. So there's like no fuel issues too. And you know, so yeah, it probably have a really good economy and a good society where, you know, people care about each other, unlike the United States of America.
And exactly. There's all zero predators. And they purposely gave Corny a shitty zapper just because of how much of an asshole he is. So, they knew it would just around and send him to like that's that one scene. He got electrocuted once too. Wasn't that funny, guys? In between him getting kidnapped by like 17,000 predators in the same neighborhood, he also got electrocuted into some funny, wacky music in the crowd. Isn't being kidnapped by adults so funny, kids?
It's the best.
I mean, that's the message of the movie.
Yeah.
It's funny to be kidnapped, I guess.
Well, if we've learned anything, it's that it's funny to be kidnapped and that, you know, the chosen one and the messiah of street smarts is Capricorn. Anyways, so folks, if you enjoyed this episode, as fucked up as it is, please follow us wherever you can on social media, at the Twits and the Grams and the books and the talk. And also, be safe out there. Don't get into weird vans. You know, wear a mask, because that would actually help too, because then, you know, strangers can't recognize you. Because if you have a mask on, you know, it's like, who the fuck are you? You know, Corny might actually kind of look like everybody else then. And, you know, be street smart.
No, he wouldn't. He wouldn't look else. I'd be looking even more fucked up.
Yeah. But that's okay. I mean, well, the thing is he wouldn't have to worry about covering up his nose with the mask because he doesn't have one. And, I mean, he's got this Voldemort-looking face. And, anyway, so
Voldecore.
wear a mask, folks. Like I said, you know, subscribe to the show, wear a condom, and until next time, be street smart and bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to All Too Real 2 podcast, a Cullen Park production, produced and edited by Michael E. Cullen II. Music by Matthew Hawes. Subscribe and share the show. Visit us at cullenpark.com.